Morning, church. It is indeed a privilege and an honor to be able to share God's word with you again today. Today we're going to continue in the book of Hebrews as we continue our study into Jesus, the great high priest. Before we get into God's word, let us go before our Father in heaven in prayer. Our great God Almighty, we come before you humbled and in awe of your sovereignty, your grace, your mercy, and the way you take care of us, the way that you forgive us, the way that you treat us, Father. We don't deserve what you give to us, Father. And indeed, it's an honor and a privilege to know you, to have a relationship with you, Father. And I pray that as we get into your word today, that we are moved, we are edified, we increase in our knowledge and in our appreciation of just what your Son has done for us and the position in which he serves to allow us to have the forgiveness of sins and a relationship with you. God, Father, I pray that you be with me. Help me to be clear in teaching your word so that your name will be glorified in all things. God, we love you, we thank you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You know, I just want to give a little bit of a recap of the book of Hebrews up to where we are today. You know, the recipients of this book are Jesus-believing Jews who are in danger of falling away from the faith. I believe it's a place we can all relate to at some point in time in our lives. You know, and the goal of the book is to show the superiority of the final realities that God has revealed in the new covenant versus the temporary ones of the old or first covenant. You know, its readers, you and I today, and those people at that time are encouraged to respond to the threat of persecution by recommitting to the new reality that was brought by Jesus. You know, and there are three key elements that we've seen in the book thus far. First of all, we see that Jesus and the salvation that he brings are greater than the angels and the salvation they announced themselves. That was the law of Moses. We see, secondly, that Jesus is our apostle. He was sent by God on a specific mission, and he brings us into a greater rest and the promised land than Moses and Joshua brought to Israel themselves. Are you with me right here? And thirdly, Jesus is more effective, a high priest, than the priests appointed by the law of Moses. Three very important concepts and facts that we need to have clear in our minds as we continue to study the book of Hebrews. You know, Hebrews speaks to those who have gone before, who were being tempted to give up their faith and give up on God because of the challenges that they face on this journey of life and following Jesus. And I believe it speaks to us even today as we journey in the faith and in our relationship with God. You know, it spoke to the people of Israel who failed to enter the rest because of their unbelief. What we are reading into here in this letter was written to some Jewish Christians who were stumbling in their faith because of the pressures of that Jewish community at that time. You know, and as they suffered for their faith in Jesus the Messiah, some of them were renouncing their commitment to Jesus and even going back to service under the law and the rituals of the temple with its priests and sacrifices. A dangerous line. You know, from the very beginning of the book, the writer has been showing them the superiority of Jesus as the Son of God. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, and I'll just read to verse 4 just to remind you of who is this Son that brings this message. It says in verse 1, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his beings, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. What a God we serve. This is Jesus, our high priest. And since he is the Son of God, how could there not be serious consequences for those who choose to turn their backs on him? You know, in Hebrews chapter 4, I'll read from verse 14 all the way down to chapter 5 and verse 10 so that we're clear on the passage that we're focusing on today. In verse 14 of chapter 4, it says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive and find grace to help us in our time of need." Are you excited? You know, every high priest is selected from among the people and is appointed to represent the people in matters related to God to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant, thank God, and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. This is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins, as well as for the sins of the people. And no one takes this honor on himself, but he receives it when called by God, just as Aaron was. In the same way, Christ did not take on himself the glory of becoming a high priest, but God said to him, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." And he says in another place, "You are a priest in the order of Melchizedek." During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who can save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. You know, we also see here in verses 14 to 16, the author is once again that showing that Jesus is superior to the former practices of Judaism, because he is in fact the fullness of those things. And Jesus is not simply a high priest. The Bible says that he is the great high priest. You know, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17 said, for this reason, he had to be made like them. Jesus was made like us in every way human in order that he might become merciful and faithful as a high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. You know, as Nino shared last week, you know, Jesus became like us in every respect, so that we might become, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest. But why do we need this great high priest? You know, Hebrews 5:1 reminds us, as I just read, you know, that the high priest represented the people in matters pertaining to God and offering gifts and sacrifices. The high priest stands between the people and God. He makes sacrifices on behalf of the people. Now we have a great high priest. We have a high priest of boundless and immeasurable superiority. A high priest who has passed through the heavens. Not just one from earth who served, but one who has passed through the heavens. Are you getting this? You know, who did not merely go into a physical temple, but into the very presence of God. Are you with me right here? We have a great high priest standing in the presence of God. That is Jesus, the Son of God. You know, with a high priest like that, like Jesus, should we be giving up when we face obstacles and challenges on our journey? With a high priest like Jesus, you can have endurance. With a high priest like Jesus, he is going to be with us, standing between you and the Lord Almighty. Are you with me here? He is doing his work for you in the very presence of God. You know, how is our great high priest able to help us? You know, the Bible says in verse 15, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin." You know, as Nino shared last week, you know, we don't have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness. You know, Jesus doesn't look down on us and wonder with frustration and anger, what going on with these people? Why they can't obey like me? You know, Jesus became human so that he could be our great high priest, so that he could be like us, so that he could understand us, so that he could relate to the things that we go through. You know, Jesus doesn't use this knowledge that he would have gained while on earth against us, but he empathizes with us. Are you with me right here? He became human so that he could experience what we experience and be empathetic as a high priest. Not just sympathetic, but empathetic. You know, Jesus shared in the same experiences that we experience. He does not merely emotionally identify with us. He physically identifies with us. Are you with me right here? He physically identifies with us. You know, and that's the point of Hebrews chapter 2, verses 17 to 18. You know, Jesus did not simply choose to sympathize from afar, but he chose to experience what it means to be human himself. You know, Jesus was tested. He was tempted. But what is amazing about Jesus is that he experienced all of this, all the things that we go through, and was without sin. Now that's some deep stuff. Yeah, I don't know about you, but I've gone through some stuff that has been very, very difficult at different times in my life, and I've failed many times. I have long lists of things that I would have given into under plenty pressure. Are you with me right here? But faithful endurance is difficult, and Jesus knows exactly how difficult it is. We gotta zero in on that. Jesus knows exactly how difficult it is. You know, the challenge for Jesus was far harder, because he never gave in. You know, when you're fighting it, sometimes you feel like, you know, it's just going to overwhelm you. And sometimes we feel like the only way to feel a little bit better about the challenge we're going through is just to give in and get over it with it. Are you with me right here? Sometimes that's just how we feel, right? And we have all given in. We have not faithfully endured as God has called us to. And Jesus knows our struggle. He knows our struggle far more than we do, because he never gave in. You know, we limited that struggle. We say, you know what, this far I will go, and this far, this amount I can handle. And then we say, you know what, I'm done with this, but I'll go get it right next time. Jesus never gave in and sinned. He never folded on the trials. He never gave up while he was suffering. I just want to make something real clear here. You know, we could say that because of the divinity of Jesus, somehow he can't fully relate to us because of his divinity. But the divinity of Jesus did not prevent him from experiencing the feelings we feel, and the emotions we have, and the tests we face, and the temptations we see every day, or the pain we endure. We have seen the truth of this from the scriptures. You know, in Mark chapter 14, verse 33, the Bible says that he took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. He says, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. You know, have you been overwhelmed like this in your pursuit of righteousness? When that challenge is facing you and it's right in front of you, you know, we feel overwhelmed and we give in long before that point, you know, but Jesus stuck it through all the way to the end and decided that he was going to obey God. all the way through the struggle. Sometimes we may stop short of having that victory. But Jesus went all the way to the limit. Are you with me right here? You know, the scriptures say that he was tempted in every way, yet he was without sin. But all of his experiences, all of the things that Jesus would have gone through would have been useless to us if he had made one decision to sin once. You know, his sinless life is what we need. You know, we need a faithful priest, a faithful high priest. We need a great faithful high priest, and that is what we have in Jesus. You know, Jesus needed to be human and experience life the way we experience it so that he could be that great physician that we need. You know, Jesus helps us along the way. You know, the Bible is in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. It says, you know, it suggests that we have a high priest who understands what we experience in this life with the trials and temptations. You know, the Bible says there, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You know, the Bible says, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence because of what Jesus has done, because of the atonement that he's made, because he is functioning on our behalf in the heavenly realms as our great high priest. We have an opportunity to approach God's throne with confidence. Now, Nino shared a little bit about this, but I believe repetition is important. You know, folks, no one approaches the throne of a king with confidence. People don't do that. You know, we're not used to this in our society. Nobody go and just decide that I go in the mighty prime minister office, I go in the PM residence, just so. You don't just walk inside it. Are you with me right here? You know, some members of our congregation, we have dual citizenships, or maybe we have U.S. citizenship and we just like to be in Trinidad. I ain't gonna call no names, right? You know, but if you wanted to go to the White House, just so, you don't just show up there. You don't just decide, you know, I'm gonna jump the fence and go and see the president today. You don't just do that, just so. You know, you might be shot on sight if you get caught jumping the fence for the White House. Are you with me right here? You know, as Nino even shared last week, you know, even Esther, who was a queen in the Persian Empire, and she knew that she could not just approach her husband, the king, with confidence. She knew that she could die from coming into the throne room. You know, ancient rulers, these were not approachable guys. You have to walk in and kiss the signet ring and they have to summon you to come. You don't just walk in there just so. Are you with me right here? You know, I want us to consider this. Was God approachable? I want you to chew on that for a few minutes. You know, did anything about the tabernacle system in our Bible that we read indicate that people could approach the throne of God? Absolutely not. You know, under the old covenant, no one approached the throne of God, and certainly not with confidence. Anyone who came near the tabernacle was to be killed. You know, the Levites were instructed to kill anyone who would attempt to approach the presence of God in the tabernacle. You couldn't just look into the ark of the Lord or even touch it. Just so. Are you with me right here? But now, because we have a great high priest in Jesus, we could approach the throne of God with confidence. Think about that. Think about what I'm saying here. Because of the work that Jesus has done, because he is our great high priest, we have confidence. Because it is now safe to approach the throne of God in our condition. Are you with me right here? We can anticipate that when we go to that throne, we will receive divine favor when we approach. You know, not only does the sacrifice of Jesus allow us to approach the throne of God with confidence, but he allows this throne to be a throne of grace as opposed to a throne of fear. You know, the throne of God is not a throne that we have to approach in fear, trembling, and timidity. We do not have to be afraid to approach God's throne anymore. And the reason is not because of who we are, but because we have a great high priest in Jesus who has done the work, who has made the sacrifice, who has made it possible to approach God's throne. You know what is going to happen when we approach God's throne? You know, if you look at the rest of the verse in verse 16, it says that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. In our time of need. Are you with me right here? That time when we need it, that time when we're challenged, that time when it seems overwhelming to the point of death and we want to give in, we can get to that throne and approach our God. You know, Jesus had made it possible for us to go into the presence of God and not receive judgment, but receive mercy. You know, we will not receive condemnation when we go, but grace. We will receive help in our time of need. You know, we can approach God's throne and find God's favor because Jesus became a human and suffered in our place. You know, we will find acceptance before God. When you are in need, the place to go is the throne of God. And to do so confidently because you can expect to receive mercy and find grace to help you in your time of need. So don't give up under the weight of trials and temptations. Are you with me right here? We have no excuse to just give in. Don't quit because of your suffering. Why? Don't give up because you have a great high priest who has experienced life just like you are experiencing right now. And Jesus had to faithfully endure. And he knows how hard it is. He knows suffering and he knows pain. He knows temptation. He knows trials. He understands rejection. He knows what hurt is. He knows the human experience. Don't quit. Don't give up. Because you have a God who understands what you are going through and he's right here with you. Are you with me right here? You know, in Hebrews chapter 5, in verses 1 to 3, it paints a great picture of the high priest. In verse 1, it says, every high priest is selected from among the people and is appointed to represent the people in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant. And some of us are those who are ignorant or have been at some point in time in our lives. And these words are inspiring to us, right? But let me read the passage. It says, he is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. This is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins as well as for the sins of the people. You know, here we have a picture of a high priest so that we can appreciate what Jesus is doing for us. You know, the high priest acts on behalf of the people in relation to God, offering gifts and sacrifices. You know, the high priest was the mediator, if you will, not only representing the sinful people before God, but actually bringing them back into fellowship with God through the work he was doing on their behalf. Are you with me right here? The high priest was not a person who scorned the people, but he was able to deal gently with sinful people because the high priest was in the same boat. He could have related, right? The high priest can relate because he is subject to the same weakness. And I believe that this helps us to appreciate, you know, Jesus as he walked the earth. Jesus is a picture of someone who can relate. Jesus is that high priest that can relate. You know, the prophet said that when Jesus came, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 3, it says, a bruised reed he would not break. You know, Jesus would be gentle. You know, Jesus looked upon the crowds of people and had compassion for them. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36 and Matthew 14 verse 14 and Matthew 15 verse 32. You can study those out yourself to appreciate the gentleness of Jesus. And if you're floundering, if you're challenged and your heart is there and you want to give, you know, Jesus is there to support you. You know, since the children share in the flesh and blood, he himself partook of the same things. You know, Jesus has compassion for us because he was subjected to life the same way that we are subjected to it today. Are you with me right here? In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 4 to 6, we got an appreciation of the qualification of a high priest. It says in verse 4, "And no one takes this honor on himself, but he receives it when called by God, just as Aaron was. In the same way, Christ did not take on himself the glory of becoming a high priest, but God said to him, 'You are my son. Today I have become your father.' And he says in another place, 'You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek.'" A high priest never made himself a high priest. Are you with me right here? You know, the Bible tells us here that a high priest was directly called by God. You know, Jesus did not exalt himself into the role of great high priest. Not only is Jesus qualified to be our high priest, but what he experienced, by what he experienced, he is also qualified to be our high priest because he was appointed directly by God himself. You know, Jesus is the superior son and the great high priest that's described in our passage today. You know, Jesus is the powerful Son of God. He is the great high priest because of what he experienced, what he suffered, and because of his divine appointment. What superiority. I mean, we read that first couple verses in chapter 1 again today. You know, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. This is the Son of God who is our priest. You know, and it's instructive to see what the Bible says with all of this superiority and all of this might and all of this position. Just the life he lived and the things that he did. And I believe it's instructive for us to pay attention to the next few verses so that we imitate his life and his heart and his humility and his submission to God. You know, in Hebrews chapter 5, reading in verse 7, it says, "In the days of his flesh," in the ESV version, "Jesus offered up prayers and petitions or supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence." Because of his reverence. You know, Jesus experienced life as we experience it. So what do we see Jesus doing as the Son and as our great high priest? What is Jesus doing? The Bible says he offered up prayers and petitions to the Father. We see the complete dependence of the Son on the Father while he is in the flesh. Do you have that complete dependence, guys? Do you have that complete dependence? You know, that's what faith is. It's a complete trust in God. You know, I was meditating on that scripture about 2 weeks ago, and I was looking at the definition of faith, and you know, in the dictionary it says complete trust. Complete trust. And I sat down and I thought, you know, Brother Roger, you have a lot of praying to do when it comes to your faith. Because it's not complete. There's still a big part of me that feels like I need to do this myself. There's a lot of self-reliance and there's a lot of me in there in so many things. But I want to get there. I want to be like, you know, Jesus in his reliance on God while he was in the flesh. You know, in God's word, we see Jesus's intensified expressions of his reliance of God. You know, we should not just read that verse 7 as that we just looked at and think only of the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus was praying intensely and you know, he was going through those final hours. But we need to see this intensity of prayer in Jesus's entire life. You know, Jesus was always getting away from the crowds to pray to his Father. You know, he would go into the wilderness to pray. You know, notice, you know, the Bible says in verse 7 that he was heard because of his reverence. He was not heard because he was the son, nor because he was the high priest. He was heard because of his reverence. And wherever you are, you will be heard because of your reverence. You know what characterizes your walk with God? When we face every day, every trial, every temptation, what do we do? Do we just give in? Or do we submit to God in reverence? Yeah, I believe the point here is not to show that Jesus' status makes his access to God different than our own. You can feel like, you know, Jesus is the Son of God and his access to God is somehow different to ours. You know, we have the same access. When we come to the Father in the same way while we are on earth. Are you with me right here? You know, Jesus was heard because of his reverent submission to the Father. You know, despite his status and his intimate relationship with the Father, he submitted his will to the Father through suffering. You getting where I'm going with this? You know, verse 8 says, although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. Now, this is different to how we think as humans. You know, the Bible says that Jesus, you know, son though he was, he learned obedience through what he suffered. You know, in our mind, he's the son of the king. He shouldn't have to suffer at all. He's the son. He's the great high priest appointed to serve the Father. He shouldn't be suffering. Here's a big point. You know, his relationship as a son did not stop because of suffering. Rather, his sonship came through his suffering and through his obedience and through his endurance through the suffering. You know, the divine son, Jesus, was called to walk the path of obedience through suffering, and that is exactly what he did. You know, verse 9 just cements it and says, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. You know, perfecting and being made complete comes through suffering. You gotta go through stuff to get better. You know, in our lives, and when we're writing exams and we're going through different trials and we go through, you know, different things in our lives. You know, when we fall down, we play in a game, we get licks, we lost the football match. You know, somebody beats us on the football field. We learn from that. We may be embarrassed when those things happen, but what happens? Later on, you get that drive. This is not going to happen to me again. I'm going to fight for this. I'm going to improve in this. You know, we go through suffering and it allows us to become better people. Spiritually, are we allowing that to take place in our lives? You know, Jesus fulfills his role as a son and high priest, not by avoiding suffering, but going through his suffering with reverent submission. Thus, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. You know, being designated by God as the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. You know, what is your view and response to suffering in your life today? Do you avoid it? Do you run from it? You know, it has to complete its work in you. Do you want God to complete his work in you? Then you gotta allow the things that he places in your life or he allows in your life to serve its purpose so that he can make you complete. Are you with me right here? You know, these chapters have gone through great lengths to show our connection with Jesus. You know, Jesus is a son and we are also sons. So Jesus is not ashamed, the Bible says, to call us brothers. We are in connection with Jesus as sons. He is a son and we are in the privileged position as sons also. You get that? Jesus is our brother and he's not ashamed to call us brothers. You know, what are these Christians experiencing who have received this letter? I know their lives are very difficult because they are followers of Jesus. They are being challenged in their faith because of the difficulties they're experiencing in trying to do what is right in a world that is reviling them. Pretty much like us. You know, being a Christian does not mean avoiding suffering, but going through suffering. You know, being a child of God and belonging to the Father in that privileged relationship does not mean that suffering will be avoided, but that you will be put directly into the fire of suffering sometimes. Many times, maybe. You know what shows a person to be truly a child of God? Is an ability to reverently submit and be faithful in obedience to God through your suffering. Are you with me right here? We are being made perfect and being brought to spiritual completion through suffering when we surrender our lives to the Father. You know, just as Jesus learned obedience in his earthly suffering, he calls people to respond in obedience through their own suffering. Just as Jesus persevered, reverently bending his will to that of God in spite of extreme suffering, so we are called to submit to the divine will of God. You know, suffering completes our submission when we faithfully endure. You know, we look at our suffering and say sometimes, man, it's just too much. I can't handle it. Are you with me right here? Something you might be going through it now, you feel like, I gotta deal with this. This is too much pressure. I want to run. I want to bust it. I need to go somewhere else. Beam me up, Scotty. Let me dissolve and appear somewhere else. You're like on Star Trek. Get me out of here. You know, Jesus experienced more suffering than you experience. He is our faithful high priest who understands what we are going through. You know, Jesus is there in heaven before the throne of God making offerings on your behalf. No need to run. The road to be a child of God is reverent submission to God in the face of all our suffering. And what are we to do? We are to offer prayers and petitions to the one who can help us. Offer prayers and petitions to the one who can help us. Are you with me right here? We must not allow our suffering in this life to push us to disobedience. Are you with me right here? We must not allow our suffering in this life to push us to disobedience, because that's what happens sometimes. You know, our suffering, we feel like, yeah, I want to give in. And if we're rebellious, you know, and you've been fighting to do what is right, sometimes you feel like, I just want to let go a little bit. I just want to give in a little bit. I just want to give in a little bit. Could you relate to what I'm saying? We must not think that sinning is acceptable because we are having a hard time. Are you with me, brothers and sisters? If we do that, then Jesus would have died for nothing. You know, we have been put in the suffering that we are experiencing for the very purpose of perfecting us into the image of the Son of God. Therefore, we have today been given another perspective of our suffering. It is not something that is going wrong, but it is God bringing us into a spiritual maturity. We need to see that our trials are an opportunity to go through our difficulty by obeying God and continuing to surrender to His will in spite of what we're facing. We will look at our trials as a way to show our faithful submission to the Father. Trials test our faith. They test our endurance. Trials test if we are truly children of God or if we are false. Are you with me right here? Because we refuse to obey when times get hard. We must learn obedience through what we suffer. It is a whole new way to look at suffering, I know. But here's the good news. You have help all the way from our great high priest, who is there on your behalf in the heavenly realms, standing before our God. You know, Jesus has suffered in the flesh so that we can have the help we need through our trials. Look to him for strength and help. You know, as you approach the throne of grace, you're coming to the Lord and you will find mercy and favor because Jesus is your great high priest who offered himself as a sacrifice for you. Your sinning and your failure does not mean that your hope for the rest is destroyed. No. You have a throne of grace. Are you with me right here? You can come to the throne of God with confidence and find mercy and grace to help you in your time of need, to help us, brothers and sisters, in our time of need. We who have failed, come to the Lord and find grace. Come to Jesus and find forgiveness. You do not need to give up because you have grace and mercy. You may have wrecked your life, but you can still find grace and mercy. You may have lived life against God, but you can still find mercy and grace. You may be crushed by your trials. Are you with me right here? But you can still find mercy and grace. Don't run from God. Come near to God and find grace and mercy. When we fail, and believe me, I have failed in my life many times. When we fail, God picks us up. Yeah, I remember I was going through a real challenging time in my life, and many of you know about it. And every day, you know, I'd jump in my wife's car, and she had this CD stack in the back of the car. And when you crank up the engine, the CD starts to play. And I going through my thing, boy. I will hear this song all the time. You should check it out. And I mean, I just felt like that song just reached out to me. It said, "Mercy said no. I'm not gonna let you go. I'm not gonna let you slip away. You don't have to be afraid. Mercy said no." And you know, I just felt like, you know, it was so easy during those times to feel like, you know, I'm just not gonna make it. I'm too badly wounded. It's no coming back from this. Are you with me right here? That song just said, "Mercy said no. Mercy said no. I'm not gonna let you go, Roger. Mercy said, right, I hear you, but I'm not gonna let you go." And I remember that song to this day because I feel like that's God for me. Mercy said no. You know, when we fail, God picks us up. He cleans us up. He forgives us. And when we come to his throne, when you come to God today, you will find what you need. You will find the help that you need. When you come to God today, you will find mercy and grace in your time of need. I pray today that we've been inspired, that we appreciate who Jesus is, the sacrifice he's made, and the great high priest that we have. And I pray that we will not ignore the great salvation that God has given us and the love our mighty God has given us, and the extension of mercy and grace that he wants to give us in our time of need. God bless you all. Amen.